today, a bit early, but we're hosting a live analyst mock draft. We are going to get straight into this because the guys have already started picking. Let's get balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Come on, brothers with me. Come on, brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King, your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter. As I said, hosting a live mock draft, which, look, I told the guys to wait, but they were so keen. Three picks have been made. I'm going to bring up the draft board. So I'll just quickly go through the draft order. And who's in the draft. So we've got NBA Fantasy Bible at pick one, followed by Noah Rubin, Michael Waterloo, Dan Titus, Eric Moody, David Williams, Raph Johnson, Skitty, Eric Ong, Menace Podman, I think it's Scott Keller in this one, Alex Barutha and Alex Reclean. So 12 team, 9 cat, 12 rounds. As you can see, I will recap the picks at the end of every round. So I have told the guys that I will be pausing this very briefly at the end of each round to recap the picks. I'm not in the draft, as you would have figured out when I read out those names. A little bit easier for me to just break down picks and talk about who's going off the board, that sort of thing, without having to worry about a strategy myself. So I will start this draft and hopefully they're ready. There we go. So Wemby goes at one. Wemby, Jokic, I think they're the two consensus, probably one and two, either order. I think you can make a case for both. Jokic did go at two to Noah Rubin, and then Luka Doncic went at three, which is interesting. Shea, I would assume, would come off the board next if Dan Titus is actually here. Don't know if he is. Timer expired, auto pick. Maybe he's got a cue, but Shea went at four. Pretty consensus top four there, I think. And then it gets a little bit interesting. This is where you would look at builds and punting and that sort of thing. Giannis goes at five. Excuse me. Tyrese Halliburton at six. Giannis probably the first surprising pick here, but he's fine. Look, if you're opting to punt free throws, he obviously shoots right up the rankings there. Anthony Davis at seven. Yeah, look, I think per game, perfectly fine. Injury-wise, he was good last year. I'm actually comfortable taking Davis at around pick seven or eight this season. I think that's okay. Joel Embiid at eight. A little bit higher for me, but upside is clearly there, but I'm just too concerned about those injuries. So I'm really not touching Embiid personally inside the first round. But, yeah, if you're willing to take a bit of a shot, that's fine. Jason Tatum at nine, very safe. Potentially won't hit that mark. Let me pause that very briefly. To recap, so Wemby, Jokic, Luka, Shea, Giannis, Halliburton, Anthony Davis, Embiid, Tatum, Kyrie Irving went at 10, Trae Young at 11, and Steph Curry at 12. So a couple of interesting ones there. Embiid, as I said, at pick 8, a little bit higher for me, but the per-game upside is certainly warrants a first-round spot. Curry at 12, he's been going lower than that in some early mocks that we've done. Finished well below that last season, but no Clay. Really, it's all on Steph now. So I'm okay with that. It's probably a little bit higher than I would go, but he's a proven first-round guy in the past. So I don't want to keep these guys too long. So Anthony Edwards went at 13, which feels okay to me. I've seen him go in the first round. I've seen him go as low as 20. So I think when all's said and done, he's probably going to settle in this range, sort of early second round, along with these next two picks, Scotty Barnes and Donovan Mitchell. picks are going quick, so guys have either got queues lined up or they just know who they want to take. Kevin Durant goes at, what's that, pick 16. Again, fine, per game, perfect. He was relatively healthy last season, so hopefully he can continue that again next season. Chet Holmgren goes next. That's okay. That's okay. I like Chet there. Obviously, the upside in blocks. Bringing in Isaiah Hartenstein is, I don't know, I guess it adds a couple of questions to Chet's ceiling, especially in terms of the rebounding numbers. The rim protection should still be there, and it will depend on how they utilize the two of them, whether they start them together or play Hartenstein off the bench behind Holmgren. I think that could depend a little bit on the matchup itself. But I think, yeah, I think Holmgren in the second round, you're going to have to take him there. Be interesting to see where Hartenstein goes later in the draft. I'm about to hit pause on this once NBA Fantasy Bible makes his... There we go. Paused. Okay, so we got up to Chet Holmgren, who went at pick 17. Domantas Sabonis at pick 18, Brunson at 19, Booker at 20, Kawhi Leonard at 21, Jaren Jackson at 22, Tyrese Maxey at 23, and Damian Lillard at 24. Yeah, look, I guess quick thoughts there. Sabonis, fine. This is where he is. He's a mid-second round guy and nothing will change. Jalen Brunson, relatively high for him here, but I think that's okay. I think Brunson and Maxey are probably two guys that are going to go in a relatively similar range. The fact that Paul George is there, I think if you'd done this draft, let me just unpause it. I think if we'd done this draft a month ago prior to free agency, that would probably have flipped. I think Maxey would have gone off the board ahead of Brunson, but with Paul George there, I think Maxey's ceiling is probably slightly capped. Booker, very safe. Kawhi Leonard, yeah, look, if he's, like last season, if he can play the majority of the regular season, then he's a real value pick here because he'll be a first rounder. Let's see if he can do that 2 years in a row. Jaren Jackson fell off a little bit last season, obviously, with Memphis. I think part of that was just not having those guys around him to score, the fact that they didn't really care. So I think Jaren Jackson, this is probably the highest I've seen him go this season, but I think that's okay. I think he was borderline first round the year before that. Don't think he gets back to those numbers, but I do think he improves on what he did last season. So I'd like to try and get him in the third round if I could, but looking to lock up blocks in that range, I think you have to take him. Lillard on the turn there at pick 24. Look, that's fine. I think obviously he isn't the guy that he was when he was in Portland playing alongside Giannis. He almost takes a bit of a sort of a backseat to Giannis there, but he's still very reliable and still one of the best pure shooters in the league. Jumping into the third round, which I will recap at the end, but James Harden off the board at 25, I think that is great. I think he'll be probably one of the more hyped guys this season. Just with Paul George gone, Kawhi Leonard, as we sort of touched on there, injury-wise, he's a bit of a hit or miss. So Harden could get back to first round value, I feel, this season. He's not going to be the 30-point scorer that he was in Houston or anything like that. As we get ready to hit pause again. Alex Reclaim, make your pick, sir. There we go. All right, paused. So James Harden didn't go off the board at 25, as I said, followed by LaMelo Ball, Jalen Williams, De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, Alperen Sengun, DeJounte Murray, Lauri Markkanen, Fred VanVleet, Miles Turner, Karl Anthony Towns, and Paul George rounding out the third. Started up again. So Harden, love it. LaMelo Ball, love it. Third round, if you can get him. Who Noah took him, he's drafted Jokic and Maxey. So two relatively safe guys ahead of him. So take a flyer on LaMelo, and if it works out, you've got a potential first-round player without too many concerns. Jalen Williams. Yeah, look, I think this is where you're going to have to take him. Maybe he might have fallen slightly. So he went at, what pick was that, 27. He may fall into the 30s, but you're probably just going to have to grab him here if you want him. De'Aaron Fox coming off a really good season. Nice fit there. LeBron James continues to prove us all wrong, so take him in the third round. He probably plays 60 to 65 games if he's relatively healthy. Şengün, you have to factor in his free throws a little bit, but I feel like he can get better in that area, and he goes here mid-third round. That's about right. It's higher than if you look at pure rankings last season, it's higher than where he was, but you're going to have to take him here for the upside. DeJounte, heading to New Orleans. Yeah, look, I think people are in one of two boats there when it comes to DeJounte's fantasy value. I actually think he can probably improve on last season. I like the fit in New Orleans. He's not going to have Trae Young to compete with in terms of assist numbers. I think DeJounte has come out and said he wants to be one of the best point guards in the league. And, I mean, these guys are all very, they're into their own talent and that sort of thing. So, of course, he's going to say that, but it's a really good opportunity for him to lead a contending team. Let's see what he can do. Lauri Markkanen, Fred VanVleet, both really solid picks. Markkanen, we're still not 100% sure he's going to be in Utah, but no matter where he goes, I think he's fine in this range. Miles Turner, Karl-Anthony Towns, Paul George. I like Towns there, I think. So he goes at, what pick number is that, 35. That's really nice. I think his floor is probably top 40, so you're sort of drafting him at his floor. And we know the upside, I mean, he has first-round upside. He's not going to get there with the team that around him, but it wouldn't be surprising to see him end inside the top 30. I think he can do that. We'll get ready to hit pause again so I can recap the fourth round when this pick is made. So we had Paul George anyway, closing that off. There we go. Paul George closed off the third round, which again is perfectly fine. He's not going to put up the numbers he did last year, but back end of the third round, I think he can be top 30, despite playing in Philly, but Embiid could only play 30 games. Who knows? Bam Adebayo went off the board, first pick of the fourth round. Yeah, PG, yeah, he did. Evan Mobley, Jimmy Butler, Desmond Bane, Cade Cunningham, Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Johnson, Jamal Murray, Franz Wagner, Emmanuel Quickly. Start that draft. Bam, perfectly fine. Evan Mobley, perfectly fine. Jimmy Butler, one of these guys, I guess upside is there for him to be better than this, but how many games does he play, we don't know. Desmond Bane, this is fine. Grizzlies are going to be competitive again. He'll be top 30, top 35. So to get Bane at, where did he go? Oh, where am I looking? 41. So he'll bait that. Cade Cunningham. Yeah, look, I mean, he's still a little bit unproven, but you're going to have to take him here to get him because the upside is just too enticing. Ja Morant goes very close to Desmond Bane there, so that's interesting. I don't mind Morant there. He's not someone I typically draft because of the flaws in his game, but he's going to score. It wouldn't surprise me if the Grizzlies as a whole are playing with a chip on their shoulder this season. I'm just going to pop up some questions here. Oh, let's start with Minus Podman. Podcast Pierre. Oh, okay. So it must be Steve in the draft. I can't remember if it was Scott or Steve, but it must be Steve in doing the draft. Where do we get up to? Zion. I think Zion's okay. You know who he is. You know what he can do. So take him there. I think he'll have a good season this year, as will the Pelicans as a whole. Paolo, fine. Jalen Johnson, probably one of the more talked about guys this season coming into the drafts. Where is he going to go? So he goes at 45. I reckon this is probably as low as you get him. Listening to other analysts and having done some other drafts, I've seen him go in the third round. don't think I've seen him go in the second round yet, but I think he's going to, there's going to be a lot of hype around him, especially with DeJounte Gorn and the upside in assists there. So Jalen Johnson, yeah, if he's at 45, no brainer. I'd be comfortable taking him higher than that. Jamal Murray, Franz Wagner feels like he's sort of a top 50 guy, and that's who he is. Emmanuel Quickley, an interesting one. Yeah, look, he was really good in Toronto. He was playing, or he played a significant portion of that stretch at the back end of the season without Scottie Barnes. So I'm not sure we can look at those numbers and say he'll be able to replicate that. But yeah, I think he could push top 50, and he goes here at 48. So that's probably drafting. I think his ceiling is probably top 40. So not a lot of value there, but I do think there's a small amount of upside. And then I'll just recap the fifth round. Derek White with the first pick. So that makes Derek White pick 49. Darius Garland, Jalen Duren, Kristaps Porzingis, Jalen Brown. Which Bridges is it? Mikal Bridges, Pascal Siakam, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Vucevic, Jarrett Allen, Devin Vassell, and Brandon Miller. No rookies yet off the board, so we'll see who the first rookie is. Start the draft again. Derek White, getting him there. What was he, top 30, top 20 this season? So, I love Derek White there. Garland, I think, will have a little bit to prove this year. He was pretty ordinary last year. He was outside the top 100 from memory. Yeah, definitely better than a top 100 player. But I think getting him in the fifth round, that feels nice. Duren, I like him this year. I hope for Detroit's sake that they can be better than they have been the last few years. And Duren is a big part of that. So I like Duren. If he stays healthy, I think he can be top. I think he's probably got top 40 upside if he can get those block numbers up to 1.5. So I think this is a great range to get him in. Porzingis, a little bit too high for me, Dan Titus, because of the injuries. I just don't think he's going to play till January. So best case, I think he plays 40 games, which maybe makes him a top 80. And he goes here at, 52? So, yeah, look, if he wasn't injured, absolutely, if he was available here, he wouldn't be. But, yeah, a little bit high for me, I think. Jalen Brown, perfect. Mikal Bridges, a little bit of a down year last year coming off that really hot sort of end to the season in Brooklyn the season before. But I think he'll be good in New York. I think he's a really good fit. He'll probably play 95 games somehow, probably play every minute of every game. So he's going to have plenty of opportunity, and I think he can get back to being that top 50 player that we've seen in the past. Siakam, fine. Gobert, fine. Vooch, I think that's fine. I think maybe it's, I don't know, maybe there's some guys I would have taken there, but let's have a look at his. Okay, so he just needed a center. So that was Eric. He needed to draft a center, and Vooch potentially best on the board. I mean, Jarrett Allen went off the board just after him. Who would you rather? Allen for blocks, I guess. Field goal percentage, Vooch, if you're looking for some floor spacing and some assists. But Vooch, I just don't know what his role looks like all season. But we'll see. I think that's okay. He's perennially a top sort of 60 player, so this is fine. Devin Vassell, pretty high on him. Anyone that follows me knows that I like Devin Vassell there. And Brandon Miller. Still not sure about Brandon Miller. I think he'll be good, but he played a lot of last season when the Hornets were running really thin. So let's see what he looks like alongside LaMelo and with Mark Williams healthy and Miles Bridges for a full season. I still think he's a good player, but, a little bit unproven at this point. Oh, let me pause. We're at the end of the round, end of the next round there. So round six, Nick Claxton went off the board first. Miles Bridges, Tobias Harris, DeMar DeRozan, Josh Giddey, DeAndre Ayton, Brooke Lopez, Julius Randle, Kobe White, Trey Murphy, OG Anunoby, and Anthony Simons. Start up. Claxton, perfectly fine. Nets are going to suck. Claxton is going to, well, at least to start the season, I think he'll be getting really good minutes. They don't really have a lot of offensive options. He's not a great offensive option by any means, but he's arguably the most proven of their starting lineup. So, yeah, I like Claxton there. Miles Bridges, yeah, it's fine. If you want to take him, if you're comfortable with drafting him, take him there. That's good. Tobias Harris. All right. Is this the season of Tobias Harris? What number was where is he? Oh, let me catch up. So Tobias Harris, 63. That's probably the highest he's gone in about 5 years. But coming into this year on Detroit, as I said, I think they're going to be better, and I think Tobias Harris will be a part of that. He'll probably be option two on offense, I would say, behind Cade. So I think he's a real chance to get inside the top 50, top 40, which is sort of the range he was in last year, Philly. So usually you draft him and you get 2 to 3 rounds of value. That's probably not the case this season. Maybe you get 1 round of value, but I still think he's a pretty safe pick. DeRozan, very safe despite moving. Josh Giddey, I like him in Chicago. They're not really playing for anything. I think it's a good opportunity for him. We'll see how he goes in the Olympics starting today, tonight, depending on where you are. He's looked pretty good so far. His three-pointers are falling. So I think if he can work on that three-point shot, I think it'll be a good season for Giddey. And I think this is probably as high as you want to go to take him. I wouldn't be reaching too high, given he's never been a top 100 player. But I think he could be top 70, probably best case, and he went at 65 here, so probably drafting him at his ceiling. Let me pause that while I recap. So Ayton, which is fine. Lopez, yeah, it's fine. It's unsexy, but it's fine if you need blocks. Julius Randle and Kobe White. I still like White, despite the fact that Zach LaVine is there and Josh Giddey is there. I think White can still probably be a top 80 player, top 70. Trey Murphy should be in for a nice role this season and started to sort of get his legs under him towards the back end of last year. So I think that's okay. Anunoby, yep, that's okay. Anthony Simons, assuming he can stay healthy, it was a pretty rough year injury-wise, but per game, yeah, he should be able to – this will be a cakewalk for him. Seventh round, Tyler Hero, Onyeka Kongwu, Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, Mark Williams, CJ McCollum, Drew Holiday, Bradley Beal, Herb Jones, Walker Kessler, Jonathan Kuminga, and Austin Reeves. Still no rookies. Let's start that up again for the guys. Oh, and I forgot to reply to this one. Albert, hello, Kingy. Hello, Albert. Thank you for watching. Matt Carmody. I'll get back to the draft in a minute. What platforms do I play on and which one is your favorite? Most of my leagues are on Fantrax. Is that my favorite? I think the customization features, that doesn't even sound right. But anyway, you can tweak it to your league. It has a lot of settings, a lot of flexibility. I like that about Fantrax. The interface is better than it was. It used to be a little bit rough. They've certainly made some improvements. I personally run all of my leagues on Fantrax, and that's really just because of that flexibility. And I can, if I want to run a weird league with weird settings, it's very easy to do. Yahoo and ESPN, I guess, are the other main two if we want to look at the big boys. I prefer Yahoo over ESPN. Probably their ESPN interface is still nice, but just they seem to be lacking in, I guess, accurate rankings, adding player names, that sort of thing. Like, it's just, I'm not sure why that is, but that just seems to be the way. So for me, it's Fantrax, but I certainly understand why Yahoo might be the preferred one. And I think Yahoo is number one. If you were to do a survey or something, I think Yahoo would be number one. So quickly working my way through that round, I just recapped Hero, Okongwu. Okongwu, is this the season that he finally steps out of the shadow of Clint Capella? I hope so. But he went at, what number was Okongwu? 74. So that's okay. I think look, if he starts and plays 30 minutes, he's top 50, but we haven't seen it yet. So I think you can take a chance on him there. I think worst case, he's top 90, so you're not really losing much. I'm just going to pause that very quickly. Sorry, guys. And I'll recap the eighth round. So Cam Thomas, I was waiting to see where he goes. He goes with the first pick of the eighth round. Jalen Green, Alex Caruso, Keontae George, Kyle Kuzma, Keegan Murray, Jabari Smith, Jordan Poole, D'Angelo Russell, Scoot Henderson, Chris Middleton, and Alex Saar. There goes the first rookie off the board, Alex Saar, in the eighth round. So very different to what we saw last season. Let me start that up. So I'll just quickly fly through that seventh round and some quick thoughts. Brandon Ingram, yeah, that's fine. Even if he's not in New Orleans, we know who he is. LaVine could be really good. I mean, if he's healthy, we know he can be top 40. So I like taking a chance on him there. Mark Williams, again, health. Basically didn't play last season, but part of that could have been to do with the Hornets just not caring. So if he's healthy, I think he could be another borderline top 50 if he can get those block numbers up. And, yeah, if the scoring's there, double-double with 1.6 blocks, efficient. McCollum, perfectly okay. Drew Holiday, maybe a little bit high, but that's okay. I mean, he's defensive ability, assists, so he does a bit of everything. He's not the player he used to be, but that's okay. Beal, Herb Jones, a little bit high for me, but if you're just looking for some steals, he's more of a specialist. So if he fits your build, you take him. If he doesn't, you ignore him. Same goes for Kessler here. Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to come this year from Kessler. Last year, he wasn't anywhere near the player we thought he would be. So let's see how that goes this season. Kuminga, I think he has to have a bigger role. As I said, Steph Curry is basically it. So it's Curry and a whole lot of young guys trying to prove themselves. And Kuminga is one that stepped up last season. Austin Reeves, solid enough there. Not a lot of upside, but fairly safe floor. Man, I'm falling behind the picks. These guys are picking nice and quick. They must have things to do. And Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas. So first pick of the eighth round. Pretty hyped this year, I think, because of the points. Brooklyn, as I said, they're going to be crap. So his usage is going to be up. Points are going to be up. Pause that. As long as you can take the inefficient scoring. Although, I mean, look, 44%, that's fine. If he can get some assists and some defensive stuff, then he could push inside the top 60, I suppose. But if you can get a guy at, what, eighth? What number is the pick there? Have I gone too far? Oh, I've gone too far. Hang on. Here we go, Cam Thomas, 85. A guy at 85 who could average 30 a game in theory, probably not 30. We were bitten by Jordan Poole last season in this kind of situation. So I think people have learned from that. So they're not going to reach and take Cam Thomas in the fifth round or anything. Recapping the ninth round, Michael Porter, Daniel Gafford, Jakob Poeltl, Bogdan Bogdanovic. There goes Isaiah Hartenstein. John Collins, Derek Lively, Marcus Smart, Jonas Valanciunas, Terry Rozier, Jalen Suggs, and Naz Reid. Start that up again. So Thomas, I like it there. I'm more than okay taking him. Jalen Green, that one not so much. I know he was really good down the stretch last year, but they've added Reed Shepherd. Tari Eason is potentially healthy and back in the roster, in the rotation as well. So not sure about Jalen Green there, but again, 20-point scorer late in the drafts is pretty valuable. Caruso, not for me. I think he's okay rank-wise, but his rank is pretty reliant on only one or two categories. So, but that's okay. I think he'll be good. He'll get plenty of minutes as long as he can stay healthy. Keontae George looked really good in summer league. Should basically have the green light there, so that's fine. Kuzma, Keegan Murray, Jabari Smith, look, all these guys are fine in this range. Jordan Poole, what number is Jordan Poole? 92. So last year after he was going in the 30s and the 40s, people have scaled back. He's now down in the 90s, obviously, here. 90, that's okay. I think he was 100 and was he 110 or something last year, 120, and that was with a terrible season. So I think he'll definitely be top 100 this year. So taking him close to that is fine. D'Angelo Russell, Scoot Henderson, Chris Middleton, Alex Saar. So first rookie, Saar didn't look good in summer league, I didn't think. Didn't look terrible, but to me it looked like he was trying to space the floor too much. It doesn't look like a natural fit. I saw him play here in Australia, and he has the ability to stretch the floor, but it's not his game. So I think this will, I don't know, it's going to be a funny fit alongside Valanciunas in Washington. So I'm okay taking him here because of the upside, the blocks upside, and just getting a center who can stretch the floor. So at this point in the draft, when you're close to pick 100, you just take a chance. Michael Porter, Gafford, safe, Poeltl, safe. Bogdanović should be safe. Hartenstein, he's an interesting one. So he went at, I'm just going to pause this. Where are we? Hartenstein, 101. I think that's perfectly fine. I think obviously going to the Thunder, we're not, as I said with Chet, we're not sure of his role or his minutes, but I think he should still play 25 minutes minimum, whether he's starting or coming off the bench. And we've seen he doesn't need the ball in his hands. So even in 25 minutes, I think he's top 100. And if he somehow proves that he needs to be out there for 28 or 30 minutes, then top 60 upside. So, yeah, I like Hartenstein here despite the move. Let me just jump back in and recap the 10th round. Zach Edey went after Naz Reid, RJ Barrett, Al Horford, Clint Capella, Chris Paul, Stephon Castle, which Thompson's that? Asar Thompson, Yusuf Nurkic, Denny Avdija, Jaden Ivey, Brandon Pajemski, and Grayson Allen. Keep this going so the lads can get out. Where'd we get up to? Hartenstein, Collins, yeah, Lively. I think Lively could overtake Gafford this season. I don't know who they'll open with as the starter, but I thought Lively proved himself in the playoffs last year, and he's obviously their future. So I think Lively is a good pick there. Marcus Smart, last year I think he was going in sort of this range, 90s, I want to say, 80s. So I think that's okay. Getting him there in the ninth round. Valanciunas, great pick. What number is that? 105. He's not going to get back to what he was doing in Toronto and his good days, sort of when he was younger and had a bigger role. But they've signed him, assuming, to play starting center alongside Alex Saar. It doesn't look like Saar is going to be a huge rebounding guy. So I think that Valanciunas could certainly be 15 and 10 with a block, efficient, and that's probably top 70. So I think there's potentially 3 to 4 rounds of value here with Valanciunas. But not someone you have to reach for, I don't think. Not at this point anyway. That might change closer to the season. Rozier, Suggs coming off a career best year for him. I think his role is set now. Defensively, he's phenomenal, so he needs to be out on the floor. Naz Reid. Yeah, look, I think we'd all love to see more minutes for Naz Reid. They're not there at the moment, but who's to say that Towns or Gobert doesn't get injured? So, I'm okay taking Reid there because we've seen what he can do. All right, 11th round. We're right end. Okay, Bilal Coulibaly, Trace Jackson-Davis, Jeremy Grant, Dante DiVincenzo, Kelly Oubre, Mike Conley, Josh Hart, Draymond Green, Buddy Hield, Klay Thompson, Mitch Robinson, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. So one round to go, and then these guys will all jump out, but I'll continue recapping picks. Where did we get up to? I can't even remember, lose track where I'm going. Oh, Valanciunas, right here. So Reid. Okay, so Reid, 80. So we're up to 80. It was a curious pick by the Grizzlies. They've picked him, assuming that they want to play him alongside Jaren Jackson so that JJJ can slide back to the four, which I think is his more natural position. So if Edie's playing 20 minutes, 22 minutes, he's just a big body. I mean, he's going to be efficient. He's going to get rebounds. he'll walk into at least 1.2 blocks, I would think, despite the fact that Jaren Jackson is there. Apologise for my cat playing on the stairs. So I think Edie's okay there. I think given that his role looks like it's going to be fairly secure, taking him outside the pick, the top 100 is okay. Barrett, again, a points guy late in drafts. Al Horford, curious pick, but without, as I said, without Porzingis for the first 3 months, Horford, I think, is probably going to play a bigger role. I do think that they'll lean a little bit more on like Kader and Tillman. So it's not just going to be a simple, hey, Al Horford, 57-year-old Al Horford, go and play 32 minutes a night. But we know he can do enough. He can get some assists. He gets defensive stuff. He hits threes, hits his free throws. So should definitely be top 100 for the first couple of months. Capella, Chris Paul will be much better. This is another, a little bit like a Valanciunas, a guy that was coming off a bad year where he just didn't have a good role. He's going to start. He's going to be passing the ball to Wemby, so he's going to get plenty of assists. So I think Chris Paul could be top 80 again this year. And he went here at 113. So, yeah, I think if you can get Chris Paul outside the top 100, that's great. Stephon Castle, not too sure. I don't know what his role will look like. But, yeah, Spurs are going to want to get a look at these young guys. And if they do decide to play Castle alongside Chris Paul at some point, then he'll get more minutes. So, yeah, again, we're in flyer territory. So let me scroll this up. The draft is done, by the way. So I will quickly recap the 12th round. I only went 12. I didn't want to keep the guys too long. So 12th round, Shaedon Sharpe, Jonathan Isaac, Christian Brown, Bobby Portis, Ben Simmons, Bouzelas, Clark or Brandon Clark, Reed Shepherd, Kostas Antetokounmpo. Yeah, that's Dan Titus. Good work, Dan Titus. Vince Williams, Dyson Daniels, and Amen Thompson. So where were we up to? Stop scrolling around screen. All right, let me just go to a different screen so it's not. Okay, here we go. All right, so we were up to Valanciunas, Edie, Barrett, Horford, Chris Paul, Castle. Okay, so Asar Thompson in Detroit. Really good start last season. I think if you had him, which I did, he was phenomenal. Should have traded him away, didn't. Monty Williams then decided to basically pull him out of the rotation. So hopefully common sense prevails and he actually has a sizable role all season. And if that's the case, then you have to take him here because of the defensive upside, the rebounding upside. Nurkic, yeah, look, he was quietly good last season. Doesn't get a lot of the headlines, obviously playing alongside Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, but does his job. He's great rebounder. Doesn't get a lot of in the way of blocks, but somehow lands at about a steal a game. Can hit threes. I wouldn't say I'd want him shooting threes a lot, but he can do it. Avdija in Portland. Look, the Portland rotation is really up in the air here. So guys like Avdija, we've got Shaedon Sharpe soon, haven't we? Yeah, Anthony Simons. These guys, until we actually see what the rotation looks like, it's going to be hard to make an educated guess, but I'm okay taking Avdija here. I think we've seen him. He can be a bit of a playmaker when needed. Jaden Ivey. I don't mind Jaden Ivey, but I don't know if they think the same. Again, that could have been a Monty Williams thing. So let's see if he starts. But I'm not sure about him. He's one of the sort of, I guess, the question marks when it comes to playing time. Pajemski, I think that's okay. I think he'll have a good role with Klay Thompson. I think Pajemski probably starts. So doesn't have that scoring upside that Klay had, but he's a good rebounder from the guard position. And I think this is okay. Grayson Allen, really good last year. Not someone I really like to draft, but he was efficient. He hits threes. They need his floor spacing out there. So, yeah, assuming he's healthy, which he should be, then he'll be fine here. Koulibaly, very raw offensively, but defensively and on a team like Washington, they should just hand him minutes and see what they've got. Trayce Jackson-Davis probably starts at center for the Warriors. He's a little bit undersized, but very athletic, so efficient. Some defensive stuff. He's got to work on that side of his game. Jeremy Grant, well, I guess per game, he's top 100, but who knows if he stays in Portland or what his minutes look like when we get to February or January even, whether he's injured again. DiVincenzo, very good last season, but they've obviously, they had a couple of issues with Julius Randle. They brought in Bridges. So I'm not sure. I think he'll be more like the guy we saw at the start of the season, and he was borderline sort of top 120, top 130. So I think he's draftable. Man, that cat's annoying me. Kelly Oubre, points, really. I don't think I'd be drafting him personally, but it's okay. Conley, really good last year, healthy. And I think we saw that when he didn't play, the Wolves struggled. So they need him on the floor. He's not going to be your sort of 20-point score or anything like that, but good assist numbers, handy steals, threes, free throws are really good. So a back-end guard, this is sort of where I think we were able to get him here last year and he finished top 80 or something like that. So I think it'll be almost the same. He does have a little bit of depth behind him now, but I still think that he's the starting point guard pretty clearly and should play 26, 28, even 30 on some nights. Josh Hart, I'm going to get my cat gone. Hang on. See if anyone listened. Probably not. Josh Hart, a little bit like DiVincenzo. He thrived when they were injured, but if they're healthy, what are his minutes look like? So he's okay to take here, but I wouldn't be surprised if 2 weeks into the season you're probably dropping him. Draymond Green, he's getting older, but he'll still get you some assists and rebounds. He's sort of that punt points specialty guy. Buddy Hield on Golden State. Look, he's got to prove something because he was really bad in Philly. Wasn't great when he was in Indiana last year. So I think Hield, look, he should have a role, but he's really just a points and threes guy at this point. Klay Thompson, who I guess you could say he's replacing him, not really, but Klay Thompson in Dallas. I think he's got something to prove. I just don't know how good he is anymore. I think offensively is where you're drafting him for his like Hield points and threes. Defensively, though, he's not surprising after those two significant injuries. His lateral movement is not what it was. And he actually used to be a fairly good wing defender, sort of an underrated aspect of his game. Mitch Robinson, look, healthy. This is he blows this out of the park. If he can stay on the court, there's no Hartenstein there anymore. So if Robinson can play 28 minutes a night, yeah, he smashes this. Harkes, fine. Sharp was really good last year quietly, but then injured and missed basically the second half of the season. So I think Sharp is a really good late-round target if you can get him. No one heard me. The cat's still going. Jonathan Isaac signed a multi-year deal. They tend to be pretty loaded in that front court, so I don't know what his role is going to be, but we know the upside is there. So again, perfect late last round guy to take. Christian Brown with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gone. I guess he maybe starts. And he's I guess, filling that sort of Bruce Brown role. What does that look like? We don't know. We haven't really seen him on a consistent basis yet, but the opportunity should be there, so take him. Bobby Portis is fine. Ben Simmons, interesting. So Skitty. Yep, Insight fans, that's probably Matty G or potentially there. Someone watching along from Insight knew that I would like the Simmons pick from Skitty. Yeah, look, it's we all see the videos of Ben Simmons healthy shooting threes and I mean, we've seen it for years, and then you buy into it and he just lets us down. So I'm not sure he's someone I'm going to draft this year. The fact that Brooklyn aren't playing for anything could both help him and hurt him. Stupid cat. It could both hurt him and help him. So hurt him in regards to playing time, and if he's even slightly injured, no incentive to play him at all. But the fact that he doesn't have the talent around him like Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Harden, all these guys, means that he has a bit more free reign to do his thing. And hopefully that leads to a bit more confidence on the offensive end, because that's what we haven't seen. But, yeah, we'll see. Look, last round, I mean, take him and just see. And you'll know within a week or 2 weeks whether you're holding him. Brzelis looked really good in summer league, and I think you just take a flyer on him again. Brandon Clark. Oh, why is no one listening to me? Brandon Clark, someone I was really high on when he was a rookie and sophomore season, and then injuries, and his role hasn't been there. So I'm not sure I would take him, but, yeah, again, last round. Reed Shepherd, someone definitely last round flyer, looked great in summer league. Where are the minutes? That's the question mark. But look, if he can just play and play well and earn minutes, I think there's a role for him, and he probably needs at least 20 to sniff fantasy value. But he could get there. I don't know. I'd be more than willing to take him. Costas, yeah. Well, Dan Titus, I don't know what he's doing there. Vince Williams. So these sort of Memphis guys that thrived last year, Scottie Pippen, Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams, what does their role look like? I'm not sure. I think of the three of them, Vince Williams is probably the most secure. He didn't really play a lot of summer league because of that reason. Scottie Pippen was great. Gigi was great. So I think, I mean, if you look at a silver lining for the Grizzlies, it was the fact that these guys were forced into big minutes when they probably wouldn't have been with a healthy squad. So depth is something that they do have now in Memphis. And if more injuries happen, then that's fine. But if it doesn't, then it's where do you find minutes for these guys? Dyson Daniels, yep, perfectly good last round target. Does he start in Atlanta? Maybe. He is also, along with Josh Giddey, about to play as a starter for Australia in the Olympics. So let's see what he looks like. But defensive upside, we know it's there. He could get a little bit of a, more of a playmaking role, and we saw flashes of that last season. And then Amen Thompson, a little bit like Jalen Green, a little bit like Reed Shepherd, where do the minutes come from? I think the per-minute upside is there definitely for those guys, but it's just hard to see the minutes. But again, last round flyer. I think Amen is better than Assar long term. Is he there yet? I'm not sure in terms of translation to fantasy value. So we will see. That'll do. So we've been through all the picks. The guys were really good. They drafted really, really quickly, which was nice. Didn't take up too much of your time. I will post the results on Twitter for anyone that wasn't able to watch along or missed some picks. And I'll probably get the guys, some of the guys who were in the draft, onto my show in the next few weeks to talk about their picks. Give us a thumbs up, like, subscribe. We are obviously doing this on X and we're doing it on YouTube. Draft-only leagues, I think we've got about 20 done so far and more will be coming. So if you wanted to join any of our draft-only leagues, head to our Discord server. The link is in my bio, I'm pretty sure. But head over there. There's almost 4,000 people in our community. So really good space to talk fantasy basketball. Analyst interviews will be launching tomorrow. It's Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow, I believe. A lot of cool guests. I recorded with Tamer Azali this morning. Spoke with Eric Moody, Drew Dinkmeyer. Got a few more coming up. Been Josh Eberle. That's right. So yeah, lots of cool guests coming up. Very cool stories. Any Australians that are watching? I sat down with Leonard Copeland. That was I probably fanboyed a bit, but that was really cool. So analyst interviews will be coming out two or three a week for the next 6 weeks. So something to watch, something while there's not much content. But again, thank you everyone for tuning in. And until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.